Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Two Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, the podcast that's helping to break down mental health stigma with personal story, with discussions about stigma. My name is Chrissy Hodges. I am one of the co-hosts, and Kat Atwell will be here in just a few minutes. And today we're going to be talking about advocacy guilt. What does that mean? To be a mental health advocacy or to be a mental health advocate, typically what that means is you're going to be blogging, you're going to be doing videos, you're going to be doing improv, you're going to be doing lived experience or public speaking when it comes to mental health. And this can be a tough thing when you are putting your entire life in front of everybody else. So there's a couple of different challenges that come with this. This can be, how much do I share? And this, you know, what are people going to think about me? But what this also can be is it can be, how am I going to balance my life with advocacy with a 40-hour job or a 20-hour job or all of the other things that go along with trying to have a life and doing all this side work and the guilt that comes along with it. So we are going to bring on a couple advocates today, and they're going to talk about how they balance that, what they do when those challenges arise, and maybe give us some tips on what we should do when we're giving advocacy. But here now is my partner in crime, Kat Atwell. Thank you for being here, Kat.
Thank you. Sorry that I was having some trouble getting on to the show. I always want to start on a high note. I was busy getting myself wine.
It's okay. I just described to everybody what it is we're going to be talking about, advocacy guilt. And I think everybody's probably going to have their own take on it. So, Kat, why don't you take it away for us for a few minutes and talk about what kind of advocacy you do and some of the challenges to advocacy and how you balance that in your life.
Perfect. So with my advocacy, I'm a performer. And so first and foremost, I really have enjoyed getting involved in sharing stories and lived experience through theater. As I've mentioned on past shows, I've been involved now in two Denver This Is My Brave shows, which I've really enjoyed, and I've also spoken about my lived experience, as have you, Chrissy, at Ignite Denver, through In Our Own Voice with NAMI, really anywhere I can get anyone to let me share my story, that's what I want to do. The challenges for me are time management, quite honestly, and wanting to do all the things all the time, finding a lot of opportunities and then not taking the time to write them down. I have a tendency to run at things really fast and then leave responsibilities and self-care behind. And so for me, it's sort of finding the balance, because there are times when I really want to help out more, especially for friends that are advocates, and others who you see are working really hard, who just need a leg up. You know, in the mental health community, we don't have a lot of money flying around, and we need all the volunteers and help that we can get. And especially, you know, when it comes down to the holidays in particular, or Mental Health Awareness Month, when there are conferences in your town, you want to see people in the mental health field who are trying to advocate for better mental health care, get their voice out and get the word out, get involved if you can. And sometimes I do work a full-time job. Being able to balance all of that, having my own time off available to balance, which is tricky because I also have a daughter who gets sick occasionally. So it's not like I can suck up off all my time off into my mental health advocacy pursuits. At the end of the day, I would say organization, and realizing that sometimes if I've been pushing it real hard, that I lose track of my self-care. And when I crash after a big event, Like, for instance, back in October, I had two big things going on, and I kept thinking to myself, as soon as all of this is done, I'm going to have this giant sigh of relief, and I can really take care of me. And boy, was I wrong, because I went from working intensely with a group of people, and suddenly that group scattered. And, you know, when a project ends, that's how it happens occasionally. And realizing that that void is something that you need to fill with self-care and reflection can be tricky. And especially, and the other one is thinking back over it and going, what could I have done better? How did I mess up? What might I do next time? If there is a next time, do they still want me? You know, just the what if scenarios. In retrospect. So I would say for me, if I had to just pick one, it would be time management and not taking on too much at once. What about you, Chrissy? I know, you know, our experiences in advocacy are a little bit different. So I'd like to hear what you have to say about your personal challenges.
Thank you for sharing all that, Kat. I am right in line with you with most of those things. Mine tends to be more of like the anxiety guilt piece. If I don't do this, the world's going to hate me. If I'm not doing enough, I'm going to be this horrible person and all of these people aren't going to get to hear all of this and that. That's where the guilt piece comes for me. Thanks, anxiety. Here's been the challenge for me in the last couple years, which will be remedied soon, considering I won't be working 40 hours at a full-time job because I'm going to go full-time advocate woohoo next year. But in the last 2 years, it has been tough because working a full-time gig and then being an advocate on the side has been really difficult. And not because I don't love what I do, but mainly because of A, self-care, B, the guilt that I feel when I don't really want to do advocacy because I need self-care, and then managing to balance whatever vicarious trauma I may have been dealing with at work, along with thinking to myself, you know, is this even beneficial? Does anyone really even care what I'm doing? I mean, those are all the questions that are coming along. So I'm going to start off with one thing. If you are considering doing any sort of advocacy, first I'm going to tell you, building a social media platform is tough. And you may think, why? Because lots of people want to hear about this. Yes, lots of people want to hear about this, but lots of people don't want other people to know that they are interested in mental health because the stigma is still true and it is still real. And so that was a really tough thing for me the first few years. It was, I'd get messages from people or I'd get texts and be like, hey, thanks for posting that. And I'd be like it. What are you doing? Like it. But they didn't want to like it because when you like something, someone else might see that you like it. And then that might see, they might see that you like something that was mental health. And then they may think that you have a mental illness and then it just spirals out. So it takes a long time to find a following. And I'm going to tell you the advocacy guilt was the worst then. Why? Because I would do blogs and I wasn't doing videos and stuff then, but I would do this podcast actually, and I would post stuff and nobody would like it. Why am I doing this? No one likes it, but then who cares? Because this message needs to be heard. So that was the hard balance for me. Maybe it's ego, and I had to deal with that. But mainly, I think it was, why am I doing this when I feel like it's not benefiting anyone? And I have a message for that once our guest clicks in. I'll end with that message before we bring her on. But so there's that. But I guess then when I started working the 40-hour position, kind of the same thing that Kat said, the self-care piece was huge. I would set goals at the beginning of the week. Okay, this week I want to do a blog. This week I want to do a video blog. You know, I also want to do this show and stuff. But the truth is that I was working 40 hours in the mental health field, peer support for people who have mental illness. Then I was coming home and I was talking about topics for mental illness and I was writing about topics for mental illness. And then I would, you know, I have Sean David here, a boyfriend, and it's we want to spend time together, but it's, oh, but I need to write a blog. And what if I don't write the blog? And then what if someone misses out? And okay, that's when the compassion fatigue will start to happen. That is when you need to realize that, yes, advocacy is super important, but at what expense? What do you think about that, Kat?
Well, you actually just made me think of something too. So as I mentioned, there are a couple of things you made me think of. One of the biggies, though, is I've put on shows where I have directed others in sharing their stories. And, you know, more than once I've become so invested in making sure my speakers and the people who have opted to share their stories are comfortable and okay, that I have completely forgotten about my own needs and, yeah, and, you know, making sure that my family still knows who I am and making sure that I'm doing social things for me because I do. I have a tendency to, you know, as far as codependency is concerned, to think it's my responsibility, I have to do this, it has to be perfect, these people have to feel great, and I'm the only one that can make sure that they can. You know, same thing. For me, I think another challenge is that I will get into something and you don't have, when you don't have a guideline, when you're doing kind of entrepreneurial stuff, that without a structure, I kind of struggle as far as where to go. And also, Chrissy, dead on as far as, but I wrote this great thing and nobody has liked it and nobody has commented. Am I just wasting my time?
I agree, and I think I'm going to go ahead and share my message that I wasn't going to share until our next guest came on, but hell, why not? And that is, it doesn't matter who you think is listening. What you do and say about mental health is important because people are listening, people are watching, but something to remember when it comes to mental health. There are a lot of us out there that are seasoned advocates. We've put our faces out there. We put our lived experience out there. You know how I am. I'll just put it all out there. I don't even care. However, there are a lot of people out there that are newly diagnosed, that are searching mental illness things for the first time. And all of a sudden, your blog might pop up. Your video might pop up. Your Facebook post or Instagram picture to break down mental health might post up. And then they're going to think, oh, my God, I'm not alone. And this is one thing to remember when you are posting things. Who cares about the likes? Who cares about whether anybody says anything? Because I'm going to tell you, the biggest thing I get is I will run into people and they'll be like, remember that thing you posted 6 months ago? And I'm like, yes, I remember it. And they're like, it really changed how I thought about this, or it really changed my stance on this, or I understand OCD better. You don't know who's watching. You don't know who's listening. Make sure you just get out and do it, because whatever you can do for advocacy, trust me, you're going to affect someone. What do you think, Kat?
I thoroughly agree. I do think, too, that those of us that have been doing this for a while, the vulnerability level, I mean, there are still moments, obviously, but we've shared our story so many times. I mean, at least speaking for me, I don't feel quite as naked when I do it. I certainly can remember when I was first diagnosed, how confused I was, how, you know, I questioned everything. And, you know, if that person 10 years ago had any idea of the voices that she could find online and connections that could have been made, you know, yeah, absolutely. I read a lot of memoir, and I actually reached out to several authors for the same reason, and they didn't know. You know, if you're an advocate, you're going to advocate, period.
Speaking of authors and speaking of huge advocates, we have our first one joining us today. Allison Dotson is here, and she is going to talk to us a little bit about her take. You've now heard from me and Kat about some of the things we struggle with, but the kind of reason behind the passion and motivation we have to just keep doing what we're doing. And I think Kat and I will probably, at the end of the show, dig in a little bit more about some of the challenges, and then we'll leave you with some positivity. But Allison Dotson is here. She is the author of Being Me with OCD. She's a blogger for the International OCD Foundation and just overall such a kick-ass person and advocate. Hello, Allison, and welcome to the show.
Hi, are you trying to make me cry right off the bat?
That's what we aim to do, Allison.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Crying is what we want people to do.
Nice things. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Thank you for being here. Yay. Why don't you just
Thank
kick
you
us off, Allison?
Me.
Talk about some of your advocacy and some of the challenges that you face when it comes to advocacy and the balance that you feel that can be sometimes difficult.
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, I am the author of a book, and that is for primarily young adults and teens with OCD. But what's been great about it is I get messages from people of all ages saying that it helped them, and you know, they can just skip over the parts that are like dating in high school or, you know, like homework and that kind of stuff. And what that has meant for me is that I've met a lot more people, and it really kickstarted my advocacy. So I get messages from people who have read my book, but then, as you mentioned, since I blog as well, I have my own blog and I guest blog on a few different places, including the International OCD Foundation. I kind of get messages from people from lots of different ways. Like they might find me in different ways. Like maybe they'll find me through this show. So it's kind of a lot to keep track of. Not to say that I don't welcome it. I welcome all of it. But that's where the balance part comes in, is getting back to people in a timely manner, because, you know, I do all this because I want to help people. So I blog. I have a Facebook page. I have Twitter. I'm a little slower on Twitter. I think that's maybe a young people's game. I don't know.
Speak for yourself. Oh, Allison, the things I could teach you through Twitter. But we'll talk about that off air.
Oh, sure. Sounds great. Yeah, and I basically, whenever someone like you guys asks me, like, hey, will you do a video? Will you do a podcast? Will you do, you know, a guest blog? I pretty much always say yes. That might be a mistake as far as, like, the balance part of it. But the reason I do it is that I struggled for so long in my own life. I mean, we're talking decades. I don't want to miss an opportunity for anyone to hear my story, not to say my story is the best story, but like maybe that's the story they need to hear that day so that they can get help. I think, especially when you have OCD, I don't know a lot about how it works with other mental illness, but I know with OCD we can have a lot of black and white thinking. So I'm very like all or nothing when it comes to a lot of stuff. Like for example, I do a Tuesday Q&A on my blog where I host someone who either has OCD, has treated OCD, has a loved one with OCD, and I love doing it. I send questions to people and they answer them almost always super candidly. It's just wonderful. And I always post them on a Tuesday. Well, if I sometimes get behind and I can't do it on a Tuesday, all of a sudden I'm like, well, I guess I'll probably never do that again. Instead of just like, nope, that's fine. We'll just skip this Tuesday. We'll move on. And that's where I am right now. I got behind a little bit where I needed to send questions to someone. And then, of course, I can't just write to her and be like, do these now because I missed my deadline, you know. So I'm trying to get back into that, to the groove of that. And that's kind of the story of my life, whether it's advocacy or not.
You know what, Allison? I think that is a huge point. I'm glad you brought it up. And Kat, not to discount your mental illness over here, but to focus on OCD.
Sure, you guys talk OCD. I'm going to be over here being bipolar. It's fine. Fine. Go guys.
Get in your corner, Kat.
I have two corners, Allison.
As Allison found out yesterday, and I'm just going to be really candid here, is when people are in crisis with OCD, which I was yesterday, you tend to get very desperate in the moment of I am paralyzed, I cannot move, OCD has overtaken me, I don't know what to do. So would like to formally thank you, Allison, for being there for me yesterday when I was stuck in the airport. I think that's one of the things that I'm glad you brought that up, because for me, that's one of the things that I struggle with a lot is when people write in absolute desperation, and it's, you know, sometimes it's from all over the world. And so it could be at 3 a.m. and you wake up at 6:30 and you're like, shit, someone just wrote me and they're desperate. And I don't know what to write back, because it's hard in the moment to say, what do I say to this person that can help get them out of crisis? Which all we can do is to say, call a helpline if you're suicidal, or, you know, let me help talk you through this. But you can't heal people. And so that's one of the toughest things for me. So I'm glad you brought that up, Allison.
Yeah. And I think that feeling that we have that we need to help someone right away, that comes from such a good place such a real place, I guess, because when I was struggling, I wouldn't have wanted somebody to be like, back to you, I'm really busy, I have a lot going on, you know, because it's like, you don't understand, I am dying right now. I don't want to be that person. I never want to blow anyone off. And yet at the same time, like, sometimes I'm not going to be available. Like, I have a full-time job. I freelance. I have my site. I have other stuff. I volunteer. I mean, the stuff I do, I love it all. And I do it because I love it. But, you know, it can be too much. But that's why I think it's great to have, you know, this podcast, for example. That's why I like having my blog, where, you know, also I can send people to other pages where you kind of like get resources together for people. So even if you can't respond to them in the moment, they always have somewhere to go. They can go to your page and, you know, I'm so sorry, I can't chat right now, I'm at work. But I did an interview with someone who went to McLean in Boston? And they can, you know, maybe you'll get some insight from that interview. You know, I can't speak to that right now. So I think that's been a good motivation for me, just to kind of like build up this archive almost of things for people to go to when I can't be there in the moment. And I do try my best. Like, I want to get back to every person. It's not always in a timely manner, which I feel so bad about. But I at least try to get back to them at some point and then check in with them. I lose track of people a lot, but I think that in some ways it means that they've moved on and they're better, because sometimes when I do check in with people, they're like, oh, yeah, oh, my gosh, I was in such a crisis last month, but now I'm fine. So sometimes it just means that they don't need me anymore.
Yeah. That's not frustrating, but, like, at the same time, it's, I guess one of the things that I could take away from just listening to you, because I know that I have the same feelings, is sometimes all you really need in the moment is for someone to say, hey, you're not alone, and keep fighting. And I'm over here, like, I'm rooting for you, I guess.
Right. 'Cause we might not always have a bigger answer anyway. And I think part of being an advocate, you're right, just listening, just saying you're not alone, and knowing when to point someone in a different direction. Because, you know, like, I've never been in residential treatment, for example. I can't speak to it. So I'm glad that the person reached out to me, but I'm going to recommend that they go to X, Y, and Z from here. And that's why I think it's great to have a network. And, you know, if people are listening to this saying, like, I want to be an advocate too, highly recommend it. I think that we need a huge network of people, like an army of advocates, because I'm not going to reach every person. Maybe someone needs to hear my story, but maybe someone else needs to hear Chrissy's story. Someone else will need to hear Angie's story. not one person can fit the need of every other person. So that's why advocacy as a whole is so great.
I love that, because I think, and Kat, I wonder what you think about this as well. I think what happens is, when I was not an advocate a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, and I was looking on the inside of, oh my God, it would be so great to be an advocate. I wish that I was doing that. You know, to me, it was anyone that would write something, anyone that would participate and talk about mental illness. I just thought, oh, you know, that's what I want to do. And it took a long time for me to be able to do that. But then when you become an advocate, the world is really small. It really mm-hmm. is. And we all cross paths, and we're all, you know, gaining inspiration from each other and feeding off each other and pushing each other to do even more. And we forget that we need more people. And so a lot of times I think that people will think, well, there's no room for me because there's already this person doing this, and there's already, you know, Kevin Putnam's over here doing ping pong, and this person's doing, you know, stand up and improv and this. There is always room, always. I mean, you know, someone coming into advocacy doing something way different than me, I am in no way like, why are you doing this? I'm like, oh, hell yeah. Like, bring it. I mean, right? Am I right?
Oh, absolutely.
You're totally right.
Yeah, it might not be like the format, like, oh, I wanted to do ping pong, and now no one else can do ping pong. Like, totally. It's more that your story is unique, no matter how you might go about telling it, like, oh, a lot of people already vlog, or a lot of people already blog, or whatever. It doesn't matter, because your story, even if you know, we all have OCD, for example. Sorry, Kat.
No, we don't. No. Nope.
No. For example, if we all had OCD, we all are different people.
Hey, okay, we all have depression.
Aren't we all so depressed? Everyone. No, but you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, like, we can share the same diagnosis, but we might have different symptoms. We come from different family experiences. Like, I live in a city. Angie lives on a farm. We all have different, you know, she has 5 kids. I have 2 dogs. Like,
mm-hmm.
Everyone needs
right.
somebody. They need somebody they can relate to, like, Christian, not Christian, Muslim, like, It all matters, and I always try to tell people, too, that your story matters even if you tell it to one other person. It doesn't have to be like, oh, I wrote a book, or, you know, I'm going on a radio show or whatever. It can be like, you tell a coworker, you tell your spouse, whatever. It matters, and I think that there's, like, that ripple effect of throwing the little rock into a pond. It's not going to just stop there.
I like how you said that. That's like something that needs to be, you know, on a picture online with the backdrop of the mountain.
If you could
being
that up
specifically,
for me.
I totally will. Your story matters, even if you've just shared it with one person, because that is so true, and it does. It resonates, because that person might be able to take your story and bring it to someone else, or give them the courage they need to ask for help or share with a friend. You're so great, Allison. Even though you do have OCD.
This is like the bipolar versus OCD show now.
And we all wish we had something different. We're all snowflakes.
Yours can do worse.
Well, now we have a new theme song. So,
something I threw out there.
I think Allison, that's gonna become like we're gonna quote you this next week, because yeah. I think that what a great point that we all forget. You know, it really is just about when you share your story and someone can relate and you find mutuality, that person no longer feels alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. I didn't know I was going to be so profound, but there you go.
Right. Well, it doesn't take a lot with me and Chrissy. So I'm just kidding.
Easily
I think you're brilliant, and I love that you share your story. And you are. You're really easy to listen to and very relatable. And I'm sure you've made a huge impact on a lot of folks that you don't even know about. And I'm just glad that I know you.
Oh, well, that's nice. I hope so, because, you know, it's one thing that keeps you going, keeps one going as an advocate, is when someone does tell you, like, oh, my gosh, I just read your book and I never knew that there was someone else like me. And that's the kind of thing that just touches your heart and it makes you, like, I'm getting choked up right now. And when you think that there's probably a fraction of people who actually take the time to write to somebody, because I love tons of authors. I love tons of people. I never have written to one. So when you mm-hmm. think of, like, I'm hoping that I've reached more people than who have actually emailed me. It means so much. I mean, it really is just, like, that push you need sometimes. Because you don't want to, like, remember when Britney Spears was just everywhere? Like, no one wants to be the Britney Spears. And I
love
mean,
her.
Like, in her bad days, but, like, in her, when she was, like, in Pepsi commercials, like, in all the videos, you know, it was just everywhere. And you kind of worry that you're going to be like, I'm going to be on all the shows and I'm going to be on all the blogs. And you don't want to be like, the annoying.
You don't want to be like Britney Spears? That's what you're saying? Be a Britney, Allison. It's okay.
I would just like to point out that Britney Spears was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. So, Kat, you need to latch onto that because now you're not alone here on this podcast.
I'm going to email Britney and tell her she's fabulous. And then I'm going to share that email on our Facebook page. And I'm not even kidding.
So does that mean that we need to shave your head and have an umbrella on our next show?
This is a wig. No, I don't mean to make fun. That was horrible. That was so bad. No. I lost enough hair when my daughter was born. I don't think I need to speed the process along by shaving the rest of it off.
Well, Allison,
I'm just sitting back,
our...
like, wishing I hadn't brought up Britney Spears. Fade into the background.
I love her. I'm going to tell you, Brittany, I love her. That's a whole other topic. Allison, before our next guest comes on, what are some challenges that you face when it comes to, and you've shared with us a lot, but, like, you know, you have, a husband and a home life and you're doing other stuff. You know, you're heading up the OCD chapter out there. So, you know, what are some self-care challenges that you face when it comes to, hey, I've got to do this stuff, but I don't have the energy now. Mm-hmm. I've been working a 40-hour job. What's your motivation to keep going with that?
Well, as I mentioned, the motivation really is knowing that it could help someone. To say, like, I don't know if is guilt the right word, because I know we are talking about guilt on this show, but just the feeling that if I miss something, someone could suffer for it. And that's, like, a terrible kind of, like, burden on you, because it's like, oh, gosh, what if I don't write back to this person or whatever? It's the worst feeling. So I always need to remind myself that I can't be everything to everyone. And like I mentioned earlier, just having kind of a set of resources out there for people is helpful, too. Like, if I can't always be reached on the phone or whatever, that I do have materials out there for people. And it's not like it used to be where there's nothing out there for anyone. I mean, they can always turn to the OCD Foundation or whatever for help. But I just, I will tell you the reality of my life is a lot of times when I'm at work, I'm like, ooh, right now I just wish I was home, because when I get home, I'm going to write a blog post. I'm going to update our website. I'm going to send out an invite to a book club. I'm going to do all these things. And I get on the bus. There's that whole gap between being at work and being home. And then I get home and I'm like, oh my gosh, my couch looks so comfortable. And my dogs are so warm and furry. So I don't always bring that passion and energy through all the way to the end. And that's something I need to work on, because there is that black and white thinking again of, like, it's all or nothing. If I don't do all this tonight, I may as well do nothing. And what helps me is knowing that when I lay down to bed, when I lie down.
Wait, go to bed.
I'm copy editing myself. When I go to bed at night and I turn out the light, I want to feel that I've accomplished enough. I don't have to have accomplished everything, but like making a little list of manageable things. Like tonight I'm going to send questions for my Q&A to one person. I'm going to check the OCD Twin Cities email and make sure there aren't any messages. You know, just these little things that I can do. And then I sleep better. And also having time set aside to do a task and to get it done is so much better than like sitting there going, I should be doing this. Oh my gosh, I really should be doing this and doing nothing. Or sitting with my computer open in front of me, but kind of switching back and forth between like my blog and Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and whatever, just like focus on this task, like set aside 30 minutes to just do this one thing. And then when I'm done, I can go check Facebook. Because otherwise I'm sitting there for literally hours worth of productive stuff done. But I feel drained.
Oh, preach. That is so true. Oh my gosh. As a scatterbrained person. Yeah. I'll have 18 things going on at the same time thinking I'm going to get so much done because I'm not like honing in on one task. Yeah. An hour will go by. I would have forgotten like 8 of the things that I was supposed to be doing in the first place. And
right.
Yeah. And I'll wind up in some sort of like troll war about politics on Twitter. Yeah.
Never happens to me ever. And I like paper. I like to have a paper list. I like to write my little check boxes. I like to cross things out. I'm not great with a computer calendar. I don't know what it is. I like being able to like physically cross something off my list. Also, another thing that helps, and this isn't great advice, but I have a $200 computer, so I can only have one tab open at a time. Because the internet is so slow.
It totally is. I agree. And it does take more than a little bit of self-discipline, I think, to be able to do the best job that you can. And I also like that you said, it is so fulfilling to cross something off your to-do list. That's huge. Because, you know.
Yeah, and it kind of has to be something small enough. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because like
totally
if you write
agree.
A list that's like paint your bedroom, well, that's not a thing you check off your list in one night. It's like go pick out a paint, and then you know buy the paintbrushes, get the drop cloth, like do all these things. So that's what I tried to do. I fail a lot, so it's a work in progress, but that's definitely what I aim for.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I think you're doing amazing things. We are at some point going to want to get some contact information for you and how people can find you, too. So if you want to share any of that now on the call, but then I'll get the information from you, too, so that we can put it on our blog. That would be great.
Okay. I can share some.
Yeah, go for it.
So my Facebook is facebook.com/beingmewithOCD. My Twitter handle is also being me with OCD.
Okay.
Perfect. Yeah, and I'm the president of OCD Twin Cities. That's info@OCDTC.org for our email.
info@OCDTwinCities. All right, .info. Got it. Wait, no.
Thank you. It's TC.org.
TC.org. Thank you. All right. I'm just trying to write all this
down. I just realized I didn't have my phone on mute while I was smacking on popcorn. So if anyone heard like a lot of chewing going on.
I didn't hear a thing.
I didn't either. You're a song.
I'm going to put that on a sticker for Chrissy.
That's my quote of the day. I am a soft chewer. So we're waiting for Angie to call in. It looks like she's having some connection problems. So, let's continue the conversation a little bit of, you know, what are some other issues that come up for all of us? I mean, we have three different styles of advocacy. Not really, but we do. We're all bloggers, but, you know, here we can go. So Kat said she was the guerrilla advocate. I was the I don't give a F advocate. Mm-hmm. Allison, what would you classify yourself as?
Quiet advocate? I don't know.
The sneaky ninja advocate? Is
perhaps. I love what we're doing right now, but I personally don't feel like, I'm going to sit down and put a computer in front of my face and do a video or do a podcast of my own, because I kind of hate my voice. Who doesn't hate my voice?
Whatever.
Oh, stop.
No, I'm just kidding. But who doesn't hate their own, you know? I'm more of like, I'm going to sit down and I want time to think. I want quiet time. I like to write. I kind of like to, you know, go back over things. I so admire Chrissy's initiative to do live videos. It's just amazing to me. And I think it's such a great way to reach people because, here they are. Chrissy Hodges is live. Like, I'm going to check this out.
Even though I fall off the chair.
Especially when you fall off the chair. It makes it so much better. It's like so much more real. Because if I fall off the chair, it's just I'm checking out my own computer. No one needs to know. And that's how I prefer to do things. I think I'm maybe just a little more like cautious, but it's partly because of my disorder that I really worry about what I'm putting out there. Even when I've thought about it, like I've read Times and then I put it out there. And once it's live, I'm like, what am I thinking? Why did I say that? What if a coworker reads this? So that's
kind of like, here we go again with the OCD.
Ugh.
Not true. Mine's just different.
Well, speaking of, we're about to bring in someone else that has OCD. So, sorry, Kat.
Great, guys.
Allison, I'd like to invite you to stay for the rest of the podcast if you want to. I'd love it if you did. If you have to go, that's fine. But please stay. We love you. We love your input.
So,
well,
I didn't want you to think we're just going to kick you out.
I do have to go.
Oh, sad.
I know. I'm so sorry. But I love what you're doing. I'm happy that Angie's coming on to relieve me.
Well, thank you, Allison, for being here. Anytime, we're going to bring you on a lot because you are awesome and we love what you're doing. And we're going to make sure and put all of your information on all of our social media stuff. And thank you, as usual, for your insight. You're such an inspiring advocate, so we appreciate everything you do.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
Take care.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Now for our third OCD person of the day. I swear, next week will be all people that live with bipolar. Miss Angie Alexander, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, it sounds great.
Perfect.
We have about 15 minutes left, so we want to pick your brain for about 10, 11 minutes.
Fabulous.
And so we're talking today about advocacy guilt. Angie brings a lot of expertise when it comes to supporting people online. She has the Friends with OCD group, and she is really good about being able to answer people and to be there for people and also to be able to mediate conflict a lot of times, which I don't think you got into this for. However, you are one of those people that people can count on, and I wonder what that feels like as a mother of five and dealing with your own stuff.
Five. Wait, time. Time out. Five. Angie, high five. We haven't met yet, but this is Kat, and I already think that you're a kick-ass rock star. Okay, go back to talking about OCD now. All right.
So Angie is also a new advocate. I mean, Angie has just started advocacy, I'd say, in the last year? Like, newly diagnosed, newly treated, and here she is. She's like, screw everybody. I'm just going to go out and start talking and support people. So, Angie, talk to us about being an advocate, being that person that supports other people on social media, and some of the challenges that you run into when it comes to that.
Thanks so much for having me, and nice to meet you officially, Kat. I've watched you and Chrissy, you know, rock it on the videos, of course, and I love it.
You're just saying that because I haven't fallen off a chair yet.
No, it's so great. I love it. Like, I literally feel like I'm with you guys. Like, I grab my glass of wine and I'm watching you guys, and I just love it. I love that we're doing the same stuff, but even though we're hundreds of miles apart. And
well, thank you. That's awesome.
So I was diagnosed in November of 2015, so just a year ago, and dove right into ERP and CBT and all that fun stuff, and acceptance and commitment therapy. And basically, like, I just sought out a community of people who, because I didn't really have like a tribe of people who I could go to for safety and security. And I had struggled for 14 years plus with debilitating OCD. I have a harm OCD. You know, I was terrified I was going to kill my kids. You know, I was terrified I was a lesbian. I was terrified I was going to get sick and die. You know, I've been doing breast examinations since I was 7. And I never told anybody. Nobody knew. I never confided in anybody. I was so terrified that people would think that I was crazy. And so when I realized that I had a thing that had a name, I was thirsty and hungry and like, you know, I just come out of the desert and I was ready to be filled. And so I looked on the internet because it's the first place, of course, everyone with OCD goes. And, so I found a community of people who were just like me or similar to me and saw life through the same lens. And so I got to know some of the people on these groups and the moderators and all that. And I really wanted a space. Friends with OCD is the page I started on December 21st of last year. And, I wanted to create a space where I could get to know people and rub shoulders with people who are like me, who see life the way I see life, whose knee-jerk responses are similar to mine. And so that's what I've created with Friends with OCD. Well, that's the goal anyway. And so everyone in there has OCD. You have to have OCD to be in a part of the group. But anyway,
how many people are in the group,
Angie? I'm super cautious. I'm pretty paranoid as far as creating just a safe environment. So there's only about 900, maybe a little bit
only
over
900. About 900. Give yourself more credit, girl.
No, well, see, the thing is, if you get online and you Facebook, you know, OCD groups, there's thousands. I mean, most groups have 5,000. You know what I mean? My group's very small and private as far as all that goes. But I like it that way. I'm not about the numbers. I'm not trying to get out there and be in everyone's face. I just want to create a nice, safe environment. We just started doing something that I'm really excited about, actually. Each week I pick a peer support, the peer supporter of the week, and I send them a gift. I send them a gift for, you know, I'll usually pick a book that specializes on or talks about OCD or an anxiety disorder. And I just send it to them. If they're comfortable giving me their address, I send it to them hard copy. If not, I'll just send it to them through Kindle, through their email. But I feel like that's a way to encourage people to do what we do, to get out there and to just, even if they're just suffering and they're being open and honest about the suffering. I just picked somebody last week who was just being open and honest throughout the week about her suffering and ERP and you know, having to hold a knife near her child when she was sleeping in her crib and she was crying and she was a mess and she could come to us and just share that. And so she was the peer supporter of the week because it doesn't always look like I'm above you talking down to you. Peer support is really about, I'm here and it's painful and it hurts and just carry this with me and be here with me and just walk with me. And that's what it's about for me. And so I think I'm so passionate about it. And I jumped in so soon and so head first because I just went so long feeling totally alone and
all right, Angie,
totally alone.
You got to explain the knife in the child's bed.
Oh,
remember, a lot of people don't know what this type of OCD is. So,
right, sorry. That's a good point.
Explain it on a clinical level so people know.
perfect. So this a friend of mine has harm OCD, which is just a theme in OCD where you have violent, intrusive thoughts. So basically, she's just this mommy, new mommy, is just terrified that she could harm her child because she saw a news broadcast or a movie about a mom who harmed her kid, you know. And so she throws all the knives away and hides the rope and hides all of the, you know, anything that could be a potential weapon. And so part of, because she's in an attempt to relieve the anxiety of those fears, of those intrusive thoughts. So so basically she, as part of treatment, she has to face those fears. And so oftentimes therapists will have you with lots of, lots of guidance from them and never put you in harm's way and do it at your own pace. We'll have you face your fears. So for example, she'll bring her daughter into the office with a therapist and they'll sit there and he'll just have, you know, a piece of rope that's tied in a little knot on the table and they'll just sit there and she'll feel that, that fear. In the midst of feeling that fear though and sitting there with that and accepting that fear and allowing that that possibility to be there and not searching for certainty, she's able to overcome that fear, just like the person who's afraid of the elevator. Eventually they're going to get in the elevator and that's the goal. Eventually for a mom with harm OCD, you want to be able to cook dinner and chop the vegetables with knives and, you know, push your kid on a swing and drive them to wherever you're going. And so baby steps. So that's how it works with therapy sometimes with that theme.
Thank you.
And Andrea, it sounds like, so we have about 5 more minutes with you. It sounds like to me that you are a big supporter of moms, which is exactly what Allison Dotson was talking about earlier, when it doesn't matter if one person, you know, if you share your story and someone can relate that. And so, you know, that's all that matters. And you're a big person with moms because you are a mom. And with
yeah.
that, how does it talk to us for a few minutes about where that where it comes in for you of like, I'm doing this advocacy, I'm helping these people, I have a family, though, that I need to tend to as well. Tell us about that balance and how you deal with that. You know what? My family's important, but this is also important, too. Talk to us just for a few minutes about how you do that and how you cope with that, because I know there's a lot of people out there in the same position you are with kids, and they also want to help people.
Sure. I haven't arrived at any perfect balance. I'm just always striving for that. I'm always trying to juggle the two things I love the most, which is advocating and raising babies. And I think for me, there's been a lot of guilt and a lot of shame because for so long I thought only one thing. I thought you could only give really all of yourself to just one thing. And for me, my identity was wrapped up very much in just being a mother. And so anytime I tried to stray away from that role and kind of dip into other areas, there was a lot of guilt and a lot of, you know, all my attention, all of my extra attention should go to them. And it wasn't until, and Chrissy, I feel like you kind of have to give a little shout out to you because I feel like you really helped me in a big way to just give myself permission to love what I love and to be proud of my desires and of my, and what makes me come alive. And doing advocacy really makes me come alive. And so I had to really deal with the shame and the guilt that came along with that. So when I get on the computer, what's helped me the most is, and most of my advocacy is just on Facebook, but I do Skype support groups with mommies. Over the holidays, we've stopped that, but we'll start again in the new year. But so basically, I've just kind of developed a schedule. Like I try to get on in the morning for like an hour or two, and then in the evening, I'll try to get on for an hour or two. And then in the middle of the day, I'll kind of just monitor posts. And if there's an emergency or I get a text and the mommy's really in despair, I'll take time out for that. But ultimately, it's all about, I think for me, the biggest thing has been just acceptance, not just in my own symptoms and in my own experience with OCD, but just allowing myself those feelings and those and the struggle and be in struggling with it, not having to be perfect. It doesn't have to look perfect. Maybe I ignored my children a little bit today. Tomorrow will be better. you know, so it's not like I have to, mm-hmm. for me, it's been not giving in to that perfectionism mindset. Making it, so people are very important to me and their journeys are important to me. Most likely there's always going to be somebody who I want to help who's suffering with OCD, but my children are only going to be 3, 5, 7, and 9 for so long. My 16-year-old just started his first job. There's big things happening in our home that I want to invest in too, but I think the great thing about holding hands with both, with doing advocacy and being a mother, is that my children get to see me. Just my little girls were in here and we were watching a girly movie, and a girl called me because she was really suffering because she was doing ERP, and I was just helping her walk through those stages, and my little girl was listening. They were both sitting next to me and they were listening. And I, when I got off the phone, my little 7-year-old, she was like, "I love that you love people so much." Those were her words. That's exactly what she said. "I love that you love people so much." And I looked at her and I was like, "Thank you." Like, that's what I want my children to see. And I'm going to teach them, what do they see? Do they see mommy ignoring them, or do they see mommy making more investments than just in our home, which I think can be good as long as it's balanced. If that makes sense.
Excellent. Well, Angie, we have run out of time.
Yay!
I know, but it goes by so quick, and I know there's so much more we wanted to talk to you about, but we've got only a few more minutes, but I promise we'll get you back on at some point to talk a little bit more about this. Not about OCD. Don't worry, Kat.
Holy smokes, I'm not that bad.
I know,
Angie, we'll have to get to know each other a little bit better too. I love it. As a fellow mom, I can only imagine. I have one, but creating this balancing act with 5 kids, it is so admirable. And I wrote down the quote that your 7-year-old shared, and because that's awesome. You're the best
Thank
mom
you.
When you're being authentically you. And
exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah, so way to share your story. You're helping out moms everywhere.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for being here. And if you want to find out more about Angie, she's at Friends with OCD on Facebook. If you want to find out more about us, Kat and Chrissy, head on over to Patreon. That's patreon.com/2flew over the cuckoo's nest. That's patreon.com/2flew over the cuckoo's nest. There you can pledge your support. You can pledge $1 a show or more than that or whatever, but it just shows that you are here to support breaking down stigma and helping to normalize what people go through with mental health. Kat, we got 1 minute. Take us out.
Well, just in general, if you have a story and you're ready to share it, do it. And recognize you are not yelling into a vacuum, and you never know whose life you are impacting, who will hopefully get help and hear you and know that they're not alone. That's why Chrissy and I do this show and why we work so hard to get our stories out there to let people know that yes, in fact, there are other people out there like you, and we aren't all weirdos, and we're all doing the best we can. And so, you know, the strength in numbers, I guess, is what we're going to say. So I believe we're going to be doing a video here soon for our Patreon members. And other than that, thanks so much for your time. You know, enjoy these colder temperatures if you happen to live in a cold place. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. That's patreon.com/2flew over the cuckoo's nest. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Unless you're a Patreon subscriber, then we'll see you much sooner. Have a wonderful afternoon. We will see you soon. You've been listening to 2 Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with Kat Atwell and Chrissy Hodges. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.